So good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of our listeners all over the world. I'm Barry Miller, your host of the Revamp Podcast. Today, I have Robert Fulkerson. He is the CEO and president, I believe one of the founders, right, of RJ Reliance, a consulting firm for HCM products. We'll talk more about that. I'll have Robert talk more about that because he can talk about his company much more than I can. So Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. Our pleasure. So tell us a bit more about your background and the company that you founded, I think 17 years ago, right?
Yeah, sure. So my background has been principally in IT, so information technology. Started the company, as you mentioned, in 2005, recognizing that there was a very particular need in the industry to have skilled resources, primarily amongst that HCM niche that you kind of referenced. And HCM being human capital management, right? So if you think about every system that companies use to manage their employees, whether it's their human resource systems or the HR solutions to onboard employees, to record them, all the way to payroll, where individuals are being paid, time and labor management systems, learning management systems, talent management systems. So that full gamut or that full ecosystem of tools that a company might use to manage their employees are the systems that we work with. And primarily our clients today are more, we would consider, you know, more enterprise traditionally. So we work with companies typically with 1,000 employees or more. Because typically their complexity needs are around these systems is much greater than, say, a new startup with maybe 25 employees. Usually 25 employees is manageable for an organization. Once you start kind of continuing to increase the number and size, that complexity increases, and usually our clients need that additional support.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely what we were discussing before I pressed the record button, humans are important. Human capital is important. Companies are running on humans. And so it's great to see that companies, one, are going out of their way to hire someone and that they understand that it needs effort and that there needs to be effort that goes into the people that they hire. So that's, I'm happy that you're able to help them, and I'm happy that companies are addressing their needs. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So we could go many different ways into this podcast. I think one place I wanted to start, though, was about some of the work that you're doing for your clients. And we can also talk about the trends of the last 17 years of HCM. But even though not all of our, I think there's going to be some patterns that you've seen that will also reflect the RevOps function for any type of company that's listening to this podcast. And one thing specifically I think is interesting is that tech consolidation I'm trying to think of the word, but that companies have used to sell one platform, now they sell siloed products like the best of class of X or best of class of Y. Now companies are trying to reconsolidate also to use an interesting comparison, like WeChat, for example, in China, they have everything in one app. Versus like WhatsApp was the best at messaging, and now they're adding products back again. So it's kind of like just a different philosophy on like have everything in one thing versus have everything in 100 or 20 siloed products. So tell us maybe about the trends that you've seen in the HCM, because I'm sure other people have seen similar trends in markets that have existed for at least 20 years, and how you guys alleviate those needs of that consolidation versus not consolidation versus best of class versus one platform.
Yeah. So yeah, you threw a lot out there. So
we'll go step by step as it comes. So yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. So I think you kind of alluded to, you know, what kind of trends that I've seen, at least here at RJ Reliance, and even before, it's part of my career as an IT professional. So really what's happened over the last say 20, 30 years has really been this change of availability of solutions and the ability to quickly implement solutions in this particular space compared to what you could do 3 decades ago, right? So that being that traditionally you would have had to use, if you're 1,000 employees or more, an enterprise platform that usually encapsulated a bunch of these different products in one. And companies were kind of loath to the idea of trying to break out different pieces because it incurred incredible amounts of expense and time to implement. So fast forward to today, or certainly over the last 5-10 years, with the internet, with faster speeds to be able to connect to the internet, there's a lot of SaaS-based, software as a service, cloud-based options. And so what's happening is you have nimble players that can come in and solve very particular needs for a client and specialize in that area. And with that comes a lot of options for a client to be able to say, I want best in breed for this particular HR platform better mirrors kind of our current needs and growth expectations versus this other product, but this other product has a better payroll solution or better learning management, so on and so forth. So they're able to go and kind of pick and choose. But obviously at the same time, there's the biggest challenge with all of these different solutions is how do I integrate with them, right? Because ultimately you have master sources of data. So for instance, your employee indicative data usually is coming from your HR solution, right? But all of that can flow down to the other products. And so that is one area that we specialize in amongst others, but is being able to integrate, provide an agnostic solution to be able to integrate these platforms. And the reason I throw out agnostic is that a lot of these products will have kind of innate integration capability, but the reality is that integration capability is usually the strengths of that tool are usually only around that product in and of itself. So can you get data out of an HR platform that has some of that capability? Yes. But then as you continue to go downstream, like they will only bring the data, transform the data to their end of the fence, right? As far as their product goes. But the next receiving product, they're only going to integrate to their fence, right? And so what we do, or what we specialize in, is being able to kind of be right in the middle, understanding all of the various different products and how they want to speak to one another and creating a robust platform to do that interconnection. So anyway, and then you kind of mentioned the somewhat of a consolidation with some tools. And the answer is yes. I mean, it is a bit of a land grab, right? You know, so obviously vendors want to do everything they can to keep clients utilizing or maximizing the products that they have, right? So certainly there is that comes out. And a lot of times the sales dialogue that goes along with it is that, you know, we're one platform, one bit of data that can transfer amongst all these different solutions. And it's a bit of a scare tactic, meaning if you as a consumer or as a business, if you're just choosing that because you think that the integration aspect is so complex that you can't deal with it, then you might choose one of those solutions and essentially pick something that's really good in this area and something that's not so good in another area. So again, you have to look at each class of software that you're utilizing and obviously try to maximize the value that you're getting from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And for just clarification, the solution for the integrations, that is like a software that you guys built that helps with that?
So it's an enterprise platform a tool set that we use that's not our own. So the tool is an enterprise class FedRAMP certified, which is the U.S. federal certification for products that can be used in the government with the government, mm-hmm. as an example. So I only mention that because it's highly secure, and how we utilize that tool and the knowledge and experience that we have between the various different systems is really our selling point. Because could you pick up the tool and actually utilize it and do some of this? Possibly, but having the background, the training, the knowledge of the various different solutions and how they communicate, that's our expertise. And that's what we bring to the table. In addition to that, we sell, typically our service is a white glove service. So which is another trend we can get into in just a moment, where technology dollars have migrated to. But the idea being that a company could purchase this as a service. So we set up and maintain this for them. So it's not something that has to be run through their IT organization necessarily. Obviously, we comply with any of their security needs and things along those lines. But the idea is that they can have something that is completely and totally managed for them and have the expectation it's going to run without issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Love the security part. That's super important in today's
day. Sure, absolutely.
Also, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Some podcasts I've had on recently, we were talking about Salesforce and HubSpot talking together, for example, and or even just you know, just redoing some things. And there's some simple like mistakes that people make, and then there's like, and that's with simple software that's supposed to talk to each other. Like some people might, for example, in their field put different country, they might write, or a different state, TX, and then Texas in a different version. And that alone will ruin everything, because then you have duplications and you have things not talking to each other. So I can only imagine for things that aren't supposed to really be talking to each other, how the challenging of the integrations. And so super interesting to see that consolidation and then that separation and then back to consolidation movement. And also really cool that you guys are adding some value over there. I wanted to change, I guess, topics, if you will, and to hear more about the operations of a consulting management company like yours. What are some of the, I guess, kind of the RevOps function at your company? So what are some of the operations that are important at a consulting company that might be different than in a regular company? So if someone, for example, has the ability to become a RevOps person or an ops person at a consulting company, what should they be thinking about and understanding the differences between that and a SaaS company, for example, or a fully tech company?
Yeah, well, that great set of questions there. So what I would say for a consulting company in general, there's two main areas that we measure for our own employees. And one is, obviously goes without saying customer satisfaction, right? So all of our employees have a very, are high caliber, have a lot of industry experience and have worked with a variety of different clients, and in a multitude of different industries, because again, as I mentioned earlier, we focus on a horizontal niche. So as far as the vertical industries that we support pretty much everything from, the government entities to pharmaceuticals, healthcare, manufacturing, logistics, chemical distribution. So you name it. So, but all typically focused on that that horizontal niche. So customer satisfaction, and then the other piece, obviously, from a RevOps standpoint, utilization. Right. So we want our consultants, and we reward our employees for looking for new opportunity, right? So we want them to be engaged on various projects throughout their tenure with the organization throughout the year. So that's obviously a big component. And the other aspect that goes with that is organization. So we have some professional service automation tools that allow us to really effectively manage the resource allocations for our employees all the way through the projects that they're working on. And along with that, then how the projects are doing. And so we can drill down and roll these up at a very high level so that we as management can kind of take a look and see how are we doing as a company? You know, how are these projects going? Are they green? Are they red? Are they yellow? And we need to kind of intervene. And basically it handles that all the way to recording of their time and hours and milestones and projects, tasks, all the way to billing our clients. So it's pretty sophisticated from that standpoint. And thematically, you'll hear me say a lot probably throughout the rest of this podcast you know, we're all about providing automation and optimization. I mean, that's really what we do as far as working with these tools to be able to, and with our clients, evaluate their processes and look at how can we make things better, right? And so we use that same kind of principle internally, like how, when we're looking at very manual tasks, how can we do that in a more efficient manner so that we can continue to grow and be more efficient and potentially apply those same skills to our clients.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's always a pleasure to see companies actually practice their own principles that they preach. I know personally that sometimes I give advice and then I don't listen to my own advice. Organizations do the same thing, that they, maybe their marketing gives the advice or they talk about it and then they forget to do it themselves or don't even use their own product. That's the problem sometimes.
Right.
So it's great to hear that. You guys are practice eating your own dog food, I think is the phrase, right?
Right.
So I really want to hone in on that last piece that you're talking about, the automations. Maybe we could you could go deeper into that because that is like one, it's interesting for multiple reasons. One, it could actually help a CS team, for example, customer success team. A RevOps person at a SaaS company, it sounds like it's something that they could build for the CS team. So it's helping not just consulting companies, but also obviously any person working at a consulting company. I feel like that's super critical and super important, is to be able to measure the projects that you're working on with your clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we could start with the why. Why is it important to measure it? I can take a few guesses, but I'd love to hear from you. Why your team focused on doing that?
So why do we measure, or why do we organize like the projects?
Why do you go out of your way to make automations in order to make it?
Oh, sure. Like, yeah, because you know, I mean, the reality is that there is a lot of inherent inefficiency within any organization, especially as you continue to grow in employee size. And there's some reasons for that. I mean, part of it is that, especially in the U.S., and I know this is also affects other organizations that are in other countries, but there's a lot more compliance requirements that are associated with it based off of the government, right? So whatever government entity, whether it's a federal type of or federal level of government or in the U.S. states to local. The complexity continues to increase as far as what you need to do. So with that complexity usually comes a lot of manual processes to intercede to account for that. And then it's usually something that goes on the wayside and continues to compound as you continue to grow or you do mergers or divestitures or whatever it is. It continues to compound because you end up having this kind of legacy process that doesn't match your current needs as an organization. So what we do and why it's so important is that there's a lot of additional dollars that are being spent, additional resources being thrown at these tasks that in a lot of ways can be automated and helps a company streamline, meet their legal or compliance requirements. And then in addition to that, allows them to scale easily, more easily, right? Because you know, as they continue to grow, things will continue to get more and more complex, which kind of comes back to that feedback cycle. So if you're able to nip it in the bud and essentially start addressing it sooner than later, then you know, it's less resources you're going to have to commit to that. And it makes it so that you can scale much more efficiently. And today, that's the big thing, right? I mean, it's, you know, the expectation is that companies can be agile, that they can do things more quickly with information, with technology. And it's funny because again, like, even though that's the case, you know, we're 2022, there, every organization we go into, we basically work through their processes and say, oh, this is a very manual process for you, prone to error, which puts you at legal risk. Maybe this is something that we can work to help, fix for you.
Yeah, no, makes absolutely. Sense. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. So I want to focus now on some of the automations that you're doing as a consulting company for yourself, for your own internal team.
Sure.
That you mentioned that, like, I think it was the third piece of the three things that you elaborated on before, was the that, like, people don't even need to, people, like, their time is tracked and their billing is forwarded to the company. Maybe you can go deeper into that, what you built there, and maybe if someone wants to duplicate it, not to compete with you, but for their own CS team or for their own consulting company, we can even go as technical as you'd like to go.
Yeah. So the big piece you run into as a consulting company is that especially, so we have currently, and we're a small business generally, but we have about 40 employees and, but we're also fast growing. So, I mean, we fully anticipate that we'll be at least double in size this time next year, if not larger. And we have independent consultants too. So the 40 is just ours. And then we have more independent consultants that we use. So the challenge or issue that comes into play when you have these many individuals that are working on various different products is ensuring what are they working on or what aren't they working on, right? So that you can best allocate those resources. Because as I mentioned earlier, utilization is kind of the bread and butter for a consulting company. You know, typically these individuals can be billing by the hour, or they can be billing by the project or project milestone. But at the end of the day, you need to be able to track that information. And then what happens from there is that, so you need to be able to engage them as soon as the sales opportunity is closed, right? Or maybe even during the sales process, during the pre-sales process. So essentially being able to integrate with your CRM or your customer relationship management solution so that you know where these deals are at, you know when they're going to be expecting people and resources. So that was the reason that we went this route, is that the complexity, you know, it compounds and it becomes exponential almost when you're managing, you know, a large number of projects across a variety of different clients. With, again, like, our expectation is that we're going to provide best in class service for our clients, right? So with that comes that need to be able to track all the way from sales to getting the right resources on to planning out tasks and recording against those tasks, recording against milestones. And then at the end of the day, as you also refer to, tracking the time from a billing standpoint, and then actually billing the client, on whatever kind of pay period frequency or pay frequency that you've established contractually. It's really kind of peeling back your processes, looking at them and figuring out, like, how can I ensure that all this data is flowing lockstep with one another so that from sales or pre-sales all the way to actually executing the project and invoicing the client, that all of that is seamless. And so that's what we've created for our team.
It's awesome. So it sounds like even like a forecasting kind of like.
Oh, the forecasting too. Sure. Right. I mean, you can forecast the utilization hours as well as, excuse me. As I mentioned when we started, I'm getting over a cold, so my apologies. But in any event, so you can utilization hours, utilization, billable rates and things like that are all things that we're able to really look at in fine detail. Because the other thing I didn't mention is that the other big belief that we have is that, the reality is that in this time that we're in a data transformation era, right? So for some of your listeners out there, they may remember pre-internet to internet, right? Brick and mortar to your internet cloud-based organizations. Well, we're in a similar kind of major transformation that's happening right now. And that's the preponderance of all this data and information. So the companies that can basically integrate, bring that information in and analyze it, right, are going to be able to make actionable insights off of that information much quicker, which is going to be a competitive advantage. And within the next 5, or maybe even sooner, but I would say within the next 5 years, those companies that are good at capturing data, analyzing it, and creating actionable insights and being able to utilize it as quickly and efficiently as possible, those are the ones that are going to succeed. and leave what was would be the equivalent brick and mortar companies behind, right? Like they'll lead and leave these other organizations behind. So we're all about not only integration, automation, but also being able to look at the information and to be able to make changes at a management level as quickly as possible. And that's also inherent in that PSA tool.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, it makes a lot of sense. One interesting thing that I wanted to grab from it is that it is like for management, so that's easy for you guys to see, but it's also like I'm assuming more accurate, less errors if it's not manual, right? Like same thing that you do for your clients. Once you automate things, they become more accurate.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And it allows us to scale much more efficiently. And that's why, you know, I was mentioning earlier about our growth. I mean, that what we put into place, I mean, we could manage, you know, theoretically thousands of consultants, right? And that's ultimately the goal. And the other great thing from a reporting and capturing of all this data is that we're able to go and kind of analyze, right? So if we may have certain partners that we work with, usually HCM vendors, who will refer business our way because we're handling problems for their clients. Well, we can literally go in and take a look at all the projects that are underneath that for that particular partner, what's been referred to us. And again, continue to fine tune, like, you know, what kind of projects are we seeing? What kind of tasks are we working on? And then be able to give that feedback to them, which kind of allows them to kind of think about, all right, well, maybe we'll bring RJ Reliance in for this or that. Because they're seeing this as a trend, right? So it's not only a great operations tool, but it ultimately becomes a great sales tool and sales and marketing tool for us as well.
Yeah. Like a thought leadership, like
yeah, exactly.
I have the data. This is what works, and then you can also, I guess, filter out who your favorite partners are also based on that. Like, oh, I made maybe $1 million from company X, but I made per hour more million from company Y. And if I only have certain consultants, then that's the company I'd rather be working with right now.
That's right. So again, it helps to kind of steer the dollars, the time that you as a consulting company are spending and putting those in the right spaces that are going to maximize your profitability. Or, you know, there might be strategic reasons that you're working with a particular vendor that will merit greater returns down the road, but you're absolutely right. So, you know, it not only improves our operating efficiency, but like I said, you know, becomes something that we can use to forecast, to look at our revenue streams to make us that much more efficient as an organization. And that's just one example. And we try, again, like we're talking about PSA tools for consulting companies that we work with, but the same kind of mentality is what we try to bring to our clients, right? Like, how can we make you more automated, more efficient in what you do so that maybe you can create additional revenue streams because now you're able to bring in data? Or the other aspect, which you kind of alluded to even for us, is now you can trust your data more because you don't have somebody that's manually keying it in, right? So, and that's also a challenge or issue for some organizations is they don't trust what they're seeing because, excuse me, sorry. They don't trust what they're seeing because, you know, that it's fraught with error just based off of how it's being run. So anyway, that's all good stuff from that standpoint.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I think I'd love to hear from you since you work with so many clients. Three things that makes a good client in the sense of like them being more operational efficient, and three bad like things. It could be like technical, it could be not technical, soft, it could be change management, people, processes, technology. I'm kind of curious to hear some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah, sure. So, well, it's interesting you touched on the last, I'll start with the last piece, because that usually is, you know, one of the areas of weakness that we see in, especially when you get into these kind of enterprise class implementations. Because as you might imagine, like we work with, clients anywhere along the life spectrum of so cradle to grave as far as the tool sets they're using. So in some cases, clients are migrating to a new solution and we'll get involved and help them with the implementation, or they have something and they want to maximize the value, knowing that there might be an end of life in the future, but if they can maximize the value, they'll utilize that solution longer. So as you kind of touched upon, you know, the sadly for most organizations of this size, in a lot of ways, the communications aspect, the OCM change management piece of it is usually an afterthought, right? And we really try, and we do have OCM people on our team, right? So because we recognize that this is a very important area for the success of any solution you put out there. Because the reality is that if you don't get good adoption, it doesn't matter how good your tool is. You know, if people are still putting in lazy is a strong term, but if they're not as efficient in putting information into that solution, then you get the whole garbage in, garbage out kind of scenario. And it can really kill an implementation, right? If you don't get good adoption. So that's one of the things that we strongly encourage and suggest is that there's planned communication that's going out to the from the key stakeholders to the remaining stakeholders within the organization, that there's thoughts around training. How are we going to get these individuals up to speed on this, on the changes that are coming? And that usually it's customized. Because a lot, you know, similar to the integration piece I was talking about earlier, sure, any general HCM solution has some level of training. The problem is that it's usually training across all the different ways that you might use the application, but not specific enough for a particular company, because a particular company may turn on this feature or turn off that feature. And you only want to highlight to your employees or the people that are going to be consuming the tool, those pieces that are relevant for their day-to-day job. So that's one of the big areas is ensuring that there's good training, good change management. I think the third area that is also kind of often overlooked is expectations around testing. Because the reality, when you're talking about, again, these particular tools we work with, there's a lot of compliance aspect to this, right? So you want to make sure that whatever you're doing, that it's working the way that's intended, or that as a company, you're comfortable with whatever legal risk you might be taking on, how small or great that is. So testing is also an area that, you know, in some ways we feel like we have to help lead or, you know, hold the client's hand to get through that process. And one of the things that we do offer, because we have both technology consultants and we have business side experts, so professionals that actually can run these kind of operations, whether it's HR, payroll, or time and labor management. So we do a lot of the heavy lifting, right? So we basically set up all the test scripts. And we'll do most of the testing for the client, but there's got to be, in some areas, we still need them to sign off for their own comfort and legal reasons. And so we have to be able to kind of schedule time with them accordingly, right? So those are those areas. And so the other question was generally the three things for a good client. So a good client that kind of understands the complexity of that, and I think generally, so the other aspect I would say is that a lot of times clients underestimate their own involvement or need to be involved with these implementations. And that goes outside of even like utilizing us specifically for maybe configuration and just implementation in general. Because the reality is that the people that are going to ultimately utilize this on a go-forward basis are those people that are doing the day-to-day run support for these tools, right? So the big thing is for them to be able to kind of truly forecast, like, I need my payroll director or my CHRO involved in these particular areas as we go through the implementation, and ensuring that we're able to carve out time for those individuals. And how we as RJ Reliance does that is that because we have these business side experts, we're able to backfill those positions for our clients. So as an example, I mentioned the payroll piece. So we're able to say, look, we'll bring in somebody for a period of time to help with do your run support so that those individuals can focus strategically on how they best want to utilize this tool on a go-forward basis. And so anyway, anyway, so back to that question, like the clients that get it, that understand that as you're going through these kind of very complex implementations, that they're going to need key resources on it and that they're planning for that, right? Whether they're using our StaffOg or using another consultant or another company's staff augmentation through that implementation process.
I love that last piece that you guys provide someone to do some of the strategic work. That's fantastic.
It's so overlooked. I mean, really. And if you, as you look at a lot of consulting for, I think that's what makes us a bit unique, because not only do we have the business side people, but we have the technology people, and a lot of consulting firms are focused usually on one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. So they don't realize that those pieces overlap, right? Like, you know, and there is a need, especially as you get into these complex implementations, to be able to support both sides of the fence, essentially. And so that's a really strong area that we have, a practice that we have. I honestly think those are the main pieces. You know, the clients that have gone through this before, obviously, generally, I mean, the reality is that they don't necessarily I guess the other piece that we run into is clients that think they can do these implementations on their own, right? So usually what will happen is the client will basically say, all right, we're going to take this on. But they're usually sourced, they're staffed to be lean in these areas, right? So bringing on this level of complexity usually is an incredible challenge for people that are just trying to get the payroll out. So from that standpoint, you know, really being able to use a third party this is what because the reality is the people that are doing the implementation are not really the resources that you need to do day-to-day run support, assuming the implementation went well, right? So there's different types of employees in a company that unless you're doing this kind of work, you're not going to have those kind of employees. And again, just to be knowledgeable of that willing to reach out and get that expertise for that implementation, knowing that on a go forward basis, yes, you can have resources to run it and hopefully less resources if you picked a great solution that has that automation and optimization aspects. So, those are the three main areas that I would say generally.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think we covered a lot here, Robert. I really appreciate your time. We covered people, we covered technology, we covered processes, we got automation and consulting for your company, consulting for your clients. So we got it all in this podcast. So thanks again for your time. It's a pleasure to meet you and over Zoom. I was going to say in person, but in person, in video over Zoom. And I'm looking forward to staying in touch.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. It's really nice to meet you. And I hope there's some value that we've covered for your listeners out there, but really enjoyed the time and meeting you as well. So definitely let's keep in touch for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, bye for now and talk soon.
All right. Thank you.